Hello, and welcome to the HR Means Business podcast, which is part of the HR Happy Hour Network. I'm your host, Mervyn Dinnan. 2024 very much is the year of employee engagement, employee retention, experience. And I'm delighted today to be able to talk to Nikki Hula, who is co-founder of employment engagement tech Hula, to get her take on employee experience, how it's evolving, and what I suppose the big trends are for 2024. So, Nikki, would you like to introduce yourself and tell people a little about your background and about Hula itself?
Yeah, of course. And thank you for having me. Looking forward to the conversation. I think I completely echo, as you said there, this is the year of experience and engagement and retention and doing things differently. A little bit on me, as you say, I'm the co-founder and CEO at Hula. We're a work technology tool. I truly believe in consumer grade, personalized experiences inside of work and the impact that that has. Some would say I'm quite a nerd and a bit of a geek for the space in the area. And yeah, just looking forward to digging in and talking a little bit more.
Okay, so I suppose the first question would be, given that the focus on, I suppose, the most workplaces at the moment is how best to retain and engage. What is it about the world of work? What is it in the workplace that tech can do to really, I suppose, engage?
I think it's a really interesting jumping in point that I think the employee experience helps to then further employee engagement. So the measure that you want here is around what is that engagement level, but that is delivered in the medium of what those experience touch points are. One of the things I tend to do quite a lot is reference how customer experience and how employee experience mirror and are very, very similar. And so much of the time in our organizations, we'll spend time looking at how do we engage with potential customers or prospects? How do we then make sure that those folks are loyal to our brand? How do we continue in engaging with them and have them buy from us and so on? And then unfortunately, how do we, you know, avoid them leaving the brand or choosing to go somewhere else? So there's a really, really easy narrative there to go, right, let's look at how we echo those touch points inside of EX, employee experience. I think it's safe to say, and I appreciate the irony of me saying this, given I'm the CEO of a work tech firm as well, that it isn't just about digital tools. And anybody that's looking at this challenge and going, I'll just put in some more systems, I think is needs to probably step back and look at what are they trying to solve. I think the interesting part, though, to your point of how technology can help, is those moments and those touch points to be able to do that personalized consistently and at scale is really difficult to do without technology and without something that makes a seamless experience of touch points inside of different moments of tenure inside of an organization. That, as I say, to try to do that without tech becomes quite cumbersome, quite difficult, quite challenging. It's not equitable and fair. It can often divide folks. Whereas if you've got something that's intentionally designed and intentionally implemented, again, understanding what your challenges are and your why, that's a very different approach to how technology helps rather than just let's throw another system in the mix, which I don't think is always the answer.
I was speaking at a conference yesterday, and whenever I'm talking about experience, I always talk about moments that matter, and it's identifying the moments that matter, whether it's job candidates going through an interview process, or I suppose more along the lines of what we're talking about today, it's employees. What are the key interactions and touch points which effectively lead towards them feeling engaged, feeling positive about their surroundings and the organizations and not? So what would you say, I suppose, are the key kind of moments that matter during the working cycle?
So again, a really good question. I think for me, this maps before someone even chooses to join the organization, and importantly, getting that consistently right and understanding all of these touch points across the various folks inside your organization that own those touch points, I think is important. It has to feel like a journey. It has to feel like something that's been intentionally planned. And by having many, many different pockets of people that look after those different moments, it becomes very disjointed very quickly. So firstly, I would say it's worth mapping that out and having the right people around the table to do that. Again, in the same way as you would do if that was customer experience, right? But looking at that before somebody applies, so why might they want to come and work at your organization equally, and some real honesty around why might they not, so that the candidates that you are attracting are the correct ones for the role, and there's an openness and there's an honesty about that, through to what to expect at interview, through to what does pre-boarding look like, what does onboarding look like, what does then in-life experience look like. It was interesting, a few weeks ago we did an exercise with a client where they did a survey to ask some managers, where do you go to get training or comms content? And not one manager answered the question consistently, which was interesting. Every single manager named the tool something differently, or they pointed somebody to the wrong tool or an outdated deck that they had from years ago. And fundamentally, one of the things we talked about was, let's look at what we're trying to solve. So the piece there around, you asked me what are some of those moments that matter. That might be something simplistic, like, I want the ability to be able to book annual leave. Now, do I need to know the name of the system? And we could all add the big vendor box system that we use for our HRIS or wherever we do that. That's not the name of the thing that you want to do. The name of the thing that you want is book annual leave. So inside a sea of work where I've got more and more tasks that I'm taking on, I'm context switching, I'm between different systems, actually to add more cognitive load to that task of just want to book annual leave. What we're asking our employees to remember is what system they need to go to, what's the name of it, what's the login, what's the username, how do they then navigate those 16 clicks to get to, lo and behold, booking annual leave. Which then might need to go through an approval process or otherwise. But in that moment, all I want to do is book leave. All I might want to do is submit expenses or something similar. And this challenge that we have of this more and more and more cognitive distraction that's added through tools and technology that we use is a real challenge. So trying to look at those employee journeys that you have in your organization that we could probably talk for hours about different persona types and what those personas look like, regardless of your, depending on your role or where you're based or tenure in the workplace. And then looking at what are those key areas throughout that, whether that's a working day, week, month, year, whatever that looks like. When you're then considering that journey, how do you try to personalize that as much as possible? Again, remembering at scale that can be a challenge, and which is where technology helps, but how can you personalize it so I feel like a human being in that process? Because for me, when we talk about experience, if we strip it right the way back to what does experience mean, it's an event or an occurrence that leaves a lasting impression on me, right? I'll remember how I felt. I might not remember what I was told or exactly what was said, but I'll remember how I felt about it. So if that process that I was trying to do, or that moment that matters added stress, cognitive load, it was something that I just didn't have the time to do. It felt cumbersome, it felt clunky, it distracted me. Actually, the feeling that I'm left with is, oh, I feel a bit flat. I feel a bit, well, it wasn't the experience I wanted. So I think in a, I've mentioned a lot of touch points there between employee experience and customer experience and what experience genuinely is. But I think trying to find those core moments in those employee journeys, and having the right people at a table to discuss them, is important. I appreciate that's a can be seen as a really big task as well, but breaking that down of where do you want to start? Where's your jumping in point? Actually, what are you trying to solve for first? Is that an onboarding experience? Is it the process of just finding leave? Is it the how are people collaborating together? Find that rub point, that thing that's causing pain and hurt for people. Listen to them, ask them, feedback to them what you're going to do. But that's how to carve out those moments that matter across the organization.
And of course, moments that matter differ from, I suppose, worker to worker, employee to employee. some of the you mentioned the booking leave, for example, which is and I always like to look at nice straightforward processes we can all understand. To some people, it's a complete faff, but others might kind of just it's what they expect, but something else might not be what they expect. We're all humans within the organizations at the moment. Obviously, the AI is there as well, but we're all humans. And so we, I suppose, have different perspectives on what's a great experience and what isn't. So how, thinking more from your, I suppose, angle as co-founder of a tech solution, how do you speak to the companies who are investing in Hoola as to I suppose, differentiating between the moments and kind of understanding?
Yeah, I think firstly you've hit the nail on the head. You've got to understand your audience. So again, before you look at the solution and the technology, what are you trying to solve? What are those problems, problem statements that are coming back? What are that? What is that feedback? What? Where is that friction occurring? I think you also raise a really good point around expectation. So I believe that we're seeing generational change in technology expectations inside of work. So, and there's many surveys at the moment, some of which I'm sure we can reference in the show notes around generational mindset and confidence in tools. And actually, the younger generations and millennials, Gen Z, and so on, have got a much higher confidence in the ability to do their job inside the tools that they're using, but less confidence in the way those tools are deployed or the tools that are selected. Whereas older generational mindset would suggest more that there's a fear to some of the tools and there's an expectation that the tools are clunky. So I think we can no longer really rest on this, yeah, but it's work tech and people expect it to be that way. They expect it to be a clunky experience. They expect it to add more clicks, more touch points, not be as engaging, not be as personalized as something that I call it consumer grade tech. But what do I expect on my personal device or inside of a streaming service that I've got or an online platform? I think that's changed. I think there is an expectation now that this difference isn't as tolerated, and we are seeing a change inside of work technology that's far more focused on the either UI, so user interface, or UX, user experience of what does that really look like. So I would say again, a real understanding of what are those problem statements, what are the challenges, and how is that different both from the role that I've got, as I say, the time I've been in the organization, the device I access on, what I'm trying to do at any given time. This for me comes in a lot to the conversation when we look at, and I'm trying very hard to stop using future of work. I think future of work suggests that it's far away. It's been happening for years. Like if we keep talking about this future state and flying cars and so on and so forth, people will be less bothered about dealing with it right now. This needs to be addressed now. You commented on my post last week as work is all work, right? Whether it's hybrid, whether it's flexible, whether it's in person, it's work, period.
Yeah.
And flexibility fits everybody. So there isn't a one size fits all. And I think we need to get out of this debate of should it be this, should it be this? There just isn't ever going to be this miracle. This is the magic formula. But when we talk about flexibility of where people work, how people work, when they work, and then indeed who, by putting all of those components together inside that persona mapping and understanding what you need to address, I think is that this is how we then start to firstly, I guess, adopt new ways of working, evaluate them, learn from them, and be okay that they need to tweak or change, and that actually we probably need to upskill managers and we probably need to upskill teams to be able to work differently. And that applies to tech, it applies to the task at hand, it applies to how they do collaboration and in-person collaboration. But that importantly, it's all very intentionally designed rather than, well, we'll just keep talking about the future of work as if it's some kind of far, far-flung event that we don't need to be thinking about right now. So yeah, I think there's a lot going on there for people to get their heads around, of course. But again, that jumping in point of what are the pain points? And by surveying folks and listening to folks, you will soon find out what those pain points are pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's understanding, I suppose, what's, we're talking about the moments that matter before. It's understanding what's important to your people, which will be different depending on the role they do, the background, age, all those different things, perspectives. One of the things that I talk about is how, I mean, if I look at recruitment, we've been through various phases from the beginning of online to social. We're in the intelligent era now because, you can't read 10 words without the words AI. Somebody saying that's it. I suppose the next phase, as far as I'm concerned, and most of the research I've done with my co-author Matt, has been around personalization. So are you seeing, looking at what we're talking about, the experience, the employee experience, the moments that matter, is increasing levels, I think, of personalization to individuals in basically how they interact with the tech and how they can use it to, I suppose, achieve the results they particularly want from it.
A 100%. I think if we look inside again, flip into the consumer lens, and what does that look like for customers? If I have clicked on something, that advert or that company is going to follow me around. It's going to target deals at me. It's going to target reviews at me. Everywhere I go, I'm going to see touch points of that. It's going to engage with me. I only need to log on to a platform that I've been into before and had some form of history to have a very tailored experience that suggests this is what you might want next. And it hooks me into that process of, rather than needing a notification that says, right, this is how I'm going to pull you back, it pulls me back through habit. It pulls me back through understanding what I'm going to want at a certain time and so on. So I think that personalization, and again, that's can be a challenge at scale with tools like what we do inside of Hula Hub. We make that easy. We make that so you can define audience groups that goes, this is what you might need to see at this time. I think personalizing both for the business, for the audience, and then allowing me as a user, and it's only the technology industry or the drugs industry that call people users, but let's call us human beings, right? So
Yeah.
as a human being, what might I want to personalize? So might that be that I want to see thing the curator workspace that makes sense for me in our world, that's my tiles, that those images feel relevant to me. So they might be my family, friends, pets, football teams, or otherwise. I've curated a workspace that makes sense. I can collaborate with colleagues and peers and managers and so on in a space that makes sense. But that expectation, again, to come back to that generational shift, I think there is far more expectation around personalization now of how do you curate and create experiences that don't just see me as a number. They are tailored to me again in those moments that matter, because there's no point in doing a moment that matters in something that's personalized, it's not relevant to me, because otherwise it's like, well, okay, that's great that that's been shown to me, but I'm not interested. And actually, that probably wastes time or screen real estate. So understanding that and that hyper personalization, I think is hella important inside that journey. And as I say, from a an experience journey, if you to map that similar to customer experience, that is going round and round. It isn't a start to end. We're seeing boomerang employees and folks coming back. And again, that's because we're still personalizing content and reaching them with content that says, well, why would you want to return? And now you've gone away and got additional skills or expertise elsewhere. You're probably one of the best placed people to come back and now step into this role. Again, I think inside our sector and in the industry, there's a lot of, as you say, you can't move for the word AI everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's becoming true of experience and personalization of touch. And I think it's important for us to really, really pull back to what about that product or thing or show or webinar or whatever it is talking about experience or offering experience. How is it then being personalized, both, as I say, to the business to the audience group or the user group, and then to me as an individual and as a human being. And having those three layers of personalization is important because that's giving you what the business needs you to know. And then you as a human being and as an individual, what's important to you inside those moments. I think when you look at then the sheer amount of tech that people are bombarded with, so Reworked released a report, I think about 3 or 4 weeks ago, saying that the average amount of SaaS tools now in any one business is 300, 300 tools.
Wow.
And on average, Asana released this, that an individual checks email at least 77 times a day. And on average, I know mine's more than this, but gets on average about 120 emails a day. So without having to see the notification, we've got this habit of go check, go check, go check, go check. And this cognitive overload then across 200 SaaS tools is too much. It burns people out. So trying to personalize what you need when you need it really helps to reduce that cognitive load and ultimately makes people more productive and successful in the task that they're there to do.
So what would you, the audience for this podcast is primarily HR people. So anybody listening now, I mean, what would your advice be to, I suppose, an HR team who maybe are at early part of this journey or maybe trying to, I suppose, improve in some way the kind of engagement experience within their organization because they've done their surveys, they've done their end of year. We're having this conversation the beginning-ish of a new year. So there might be kind of one of the projects this year is to kind of improve these things. Where would you advise them to start, or how would you advise them to start?
That's a really interesting question. Again, I don't think there's a one size fits all. But what I would say is, if you've done the research of either whether that's surveys, whether that's data that you've got, I'd start with something simple. So it's very difficult, and I don't think anybody, and I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, anybody walks into either a new role, or they get given a brief that says, do you know what, you can rip out every single piece of tech and every touch point that we've got. You can solve people getting their machines and emails on day one, and you can solve everything kind of overnight. I just don't think it's reality. What I would say is tackle some of the start to tackle some of the low-hanging fruit first. So some of those quick wins. Importantly, where you've had feedback from folks saying, this is a big burning problem for us, or this really great, or this is a moment that matters that we don't get right, do a bit of you said we did. So even if that's really, really low touch point and that's nothing, you're not reinventing the wheel overnight, but you just go in, do you know what? We've changed that in order to get to booking annual leave. We just make that really, really clear. We don't say the system name, we call it what it is. It is what it says on the tin as an example. Look at some of those low hanging fruit, but communicate back. So this is some of the change that we've made, and these are some of the things that we're going to tackle next. And we'd love to engage with our people to look at, you know, what should we tackle and where next. I think again, tools like ours of will bring something into one space. So bring in everything that you've got and go through a consolidation exercise or go through a review exercise of goes, what tools do we and don't we need? Are we offering personalized experiences in something that feels consumer grade that doesn't need an 18-month implementation cycle? Because I can guarantee you that in 18 months' time, things will have changed massively. So the longer that takes, the more out of date that you already are. And then I think it would be wrong of us to not touch on AI. In my view, and from the many conferences I attended last year, from speaking to clients, prospects, and other vendors that are doing brilliant things in the space, I think there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of noise of what AI is and the fear behind it and what it could be and so on. I'd say sit down with your data team, sit down with the IT team, understand. Even if you wanted to implement technology now and you know what the use case is your data in a space and is your infrastructure in a space that that's defendable and you would know why a decision has been made? Are you looking at your AI decisions ethically? and understanding the point of view of what you're trying to solve and when and why. And have you got the right people around the table? I do think that's important with any vendor that you are talking about what's your AI strategy, but it's okay to not know that, in 2 weeks' time you're going to have AI completely completed and implemented into the organization and, living, breathing, working. That might be a roadmap both for vendors, but also for implementation times into organizations. So I think they would be some of the starting points of start low-hanging fruit feedback. Say you said we did. Look at something that consolidates into one place and creates that consumer grade personalized layer, and then be having the right people around the table. So again, if that's journey mapping, is that all of those people that are involved in that end to end? And if that's around tech and infrastructure, is that your data teams, your IT teams, potentially even legal teams, and you've got the right people to be able to start some of those conversations.
Been fascinating, Nikki. It's been really interesting to talk to you. Before we go, I suppose my one question will be getting you to gaze into your crystal ball. And so if we have this conversation again, say in 2 years' time, I mean, I'm sure I'll be bumping into you many times before then, but if we maybe look forward 2 years, what do you think we're going to be talking about, what do you think might be coming down the track to maybe change or enhance some of the things we're discussing now?
I still think we're going to be talking about experience because, in a world where we automate more, and I think that the fear around some of AI is often language when we talk about replace, I think automate and amplify is really important. There will only be things that just happen in the background, more and more things that happen that are expected and that they occur for me. But what that will do is put far more focused on experience and how I felt, because I am still the human being in this world. I still have emotions and feelings that are complex and that they're different and that they're unique. So I absolutely still believe that personalization will be a key topic of conversation. I think we'll have moved past the impact of post-COVID and what does this future world of work look like. We will refer to work as work, but I do think that conversation around what sort of who and how, and more gig economy, and what skills do you lean into at what points, and that skills become hierarchies inside of organizations break down a touch because teams are much more collaborative across the organization based on the skills that they have and that human connection. Because so much of, the tech future and automation will be in that world of so much of that's, dealt with elsewhere. So more focus on personalization, humanization, and skills and cross collaboration.
Hey, Nikki, if people are listening to this and want to know how they can connect with you or maybe find out more about what you kind of, I suppose, think and write about and speak about, how can they connect with you?
So I'm Nikki Hoyland on LinkedIn, or you can contact me via Hulu, which is hulu.io. And yeah, we'd love to chat to more folks in this area. I'm very passionate about it, as you can tell.
Just a bit.
yeah.
Okay, Nikki, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and hopefully I'll be bumping into you at a conference sometime soon.
I have no doubt. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.